Welcome to everybody on BBS. I was just telling a story about Google Earth. And here's essentially the story. I was talking to this... I wasn't talking. We were Skyping back and forth with each other, texting, about putting the magnets in the pendants that we sell. And the magnets have to go in a certain way. And we discovered that, and we instructed them how to do it. And in the last order we got in, the magnets were all backwards. And then we turned out her compass shifted polarity. And so, according to her compass, they were going incorrectly, but the compass wasn't working. And so, we have just an order that's being worked on right now. And I was on the phone, I was on Skype with her, because I wanted to make sure the magnets went in correctly. And this was not an easy situation, because you have a circumstance where the compass reversed direction. And Terry had that experience, too, where the compass reversed direction. Of course, somebody's going to have some great metaphysical explanation for that. But nonetheless, I started talking to her, and we have to figure out where north is in your city, her city in China. And she didn't know, believe it or not. You know, most people probably know where north is in their city, but she didn't know, and most people in China don't pay attention to north, south, east, west. And I said, how do I help her figure out where north is? And so I took a shot. I went on Google Earth, and I brought up her city in China, and I asked her to tell me what her street was. And while I was doing that, I was looking at the whole map, of course, and I said, now, do you know where McDonald's is? Because it looked like there was a McDonald's 2 blocks away. Now, you know, in China, they don't have access to Google Earth. They don't have access to Google. And here I am, looking right down on the map of her city and her street. And then I was told there, do you know where, I can't remember the name of the street. There was a street on the map that I knew was north of her. And so I said, do you know where Shixian Street is or something like that? And she said, yes. I said, well, that's north. Take your magnet and see if it's pointing towards that street. Then we know we got north side of the magnet correctly. And she did. And we were going back and forth. And then I was sending her little clips of the area and of the rooftops in the area. You could see the rooftops. And as we were doing this, I realized I was in her room energetically. It was like a Sunday grid healing. And really strong. And I had an idea that Google Earth, and looking, in other words, like if you want to send the light to somebody you care about, tuning right into their house and looking through it and sending the energy. I'm going to ask a question about that tonight because it was quite amazing. I'm going to tell Fred, I mean, I'll see what our sources say. I'm going to tell Fred, who does house clearings, that he ought to try it, because it was very impactful. I got really high from doing it, and I know she could feel me. It was really fun. It was like visiting somebody, you know, thousands of miles away. So in any case, I'm going to ask a question tonight about that and see what we get. And, Terry, I'm going to call in the light. Are you ready?
Okay. All right.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light that surround and protect Terry and myself. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of life and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here with you, each and every one of you who wish to be connected. We come directly to you. We do not come through the telephone line. It is the voice that comes through the telephone line. We come directly to each and every one of you, whether you listen at the time of the show or whether you listen to the replay lines. We are delighted to be with you. Our brothers and sisters in the third density, do you have questions?
Yes, let me start off with the question I was just leading to in my introduction there about Google Earth. And is that a viable technique protocol to send the light into a situation and increase the connection?
Yes, in that it helps the person who is sending the light to focus on the area and know exactly what area they are focusing on. It does help to refine and tone the connection.
Mm-hmm. Would that be a good idea to try to experiment and see if we can incorporate it into our Sunday call? In other words, if we're sending the light to the Ukraine, then we all tune into the Google Earth map of the Ukraine.
Yes. Yes. That would be good.
Yeah. Or South America, or where there's earthquakes, or some St. Louis, or we could do a whole call of having people want house clearings and just go through Google Earth for each of their homes, and I'll focus clearing it. Is that a good idea?
Well, we do not put it there for Fred. It is up to Fred. However, we are looking at the potential of the Elohim doing the plan. It would be up to Ed. It would be up to Fred if Fred wanted to participate.
You know, we'll experiment with it, and we'll try it this Sunday, so all of you on the line, get your computers tuned up to Google Earth, and we're going to take a travel around the country. In fact, you might try it. I might suggest that there's people you care about and you want to send the light to them, you might try Google Earthing over their house, looking at their roof, and focus sending light, and see how it feels. Okay, thank you. Next question here. This is from... Wait a second. What? Elizabeth Woodring? Elizabeth, you know, I've been putting off your question on this because I don't want to encourage those kinds of questions. And recently, I'll just read your question. Recently, I heard of someone channeling the tribunal. I'm curious if our sources are familiar with this and are willing to share any information or comment associated with this. You know, I don't think it's a good idea to take inventory of other people to channel. A tricky thing about channeling, if you've tracked some of our talks about it, is that sometimes it's negative and sometimes it's positive. Sometimes there's tricksters and sometimes there's not. And so if you endorse a channeling, how do you know whether you're endorsing it when it's positive or when it's negative? And, you know, if it's going to shift next week. You know, there's enough resonance on our sources that if you listen to somebody else's channeling and you can feel the vibe, you might consider that it's the same sources. But to have them validated or invalidated is only taking inventory of other people and other people's channelings, and potentially it could be negative. And then they can't say that because then we create enemies. So the time I would ask a question like this is if somebody has some kind of experience on a channeling that was profound or negative, and they wanted clarification. And that would be a reason to talk about it. But not to validate or invalidate some group totally, you know, for all time on our call. That makes sense. Let's just say, do our sources want to make a comment on my comment?
Thank you. We do pick up that group and we, the tribunal, and we send them, we give them love light. We do not endorse they do not endorse it. It is something that you, if you listen, see what you resonate with and let the rest go. It is from that particular viewpoint that things are brought through. That is all.
Thank you. Thank you. And Gail from London, UK. I am working to get closer to the law of one every day, but it is difficult to see oneness while wearing what you call filter glasses that distort the way I perceive reality and turns it into a subjective experience. I would like to understand what filters do to my upbringing, social environment, gender, profession, spiritual views impact me the most and would be most beneficial for me to understand so that I can see in true colors. Clearly, there will be many, so what do you think are the main one or two of my filters? Thank you.
Thank you. If you look at where your interests lie, your strong interests, and you look at the terrain of ideas and thoughts in that area, you can see pros and cons in the area of your interest. One tends to become polarized into those two pros and con areas. We are speaking slowly because we are seeing that practically everyone has an area that they focus on that brings them problems and brings the desire to move forward and the problems that occur in that area. It is something that is practically universal. So when you isolate out the main pros and cons that you are running into, then you can begin to move out of that box in which you move in circles, attempting to get out of the situation, but to get out of it by directly dealing with the problems and the cons involved. If you can begin to look at it from outside of that area, you can begin to disentangle the areas of problems and see where they conflict. We have spoken in a general way here, but it applies intensely in one area and in other areas also. We hope that in contemplating this answer, you can begin to move your telescope view of the situation outward and begin to unravel the barriers towards moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. What is the source's take on the idea professed in various forms that the universe can and will support people through synchronicities, etc., especially when they are pursuing their higher purpose? What can we do to encourage that support? Thank you. You know, I've had so many synchronicities in my life, and we've been having them more often lately. I think Terry has even been observing how they occur. And let me turn that over to our sources and get their take on it.
Thank you. It is one of the ways in which the vibrational frequencies that build and are the foundation of life work, in that the vibration of one interlocks with the vibration of another, and one's attention then moves into that arena, and since they're focused on it and they notice other synchronicities, other similar situations, that's where they are focusing their attention at the time. And it is beyond a focus of intention. It is a interlocking vibration between oneself and similar ideas, wishes, desires, strengths, and it pulls it into your sphere as you become one with those vibrations, and you then are able to operate in a broader sense and to bring further synchronicities or similar vibration areas of desires and strengths into your area of operation.
Thank you. I have just noticed the things that cause me to have synchronicities or lead me into them. And I thought I'd share it. First of all, you need intentions and visioning of things that you would like to occur. Like, I'd like to find a good mechanic, or I'd like to make a movie. It should be things that are possible, not impossible or unlikely. You know, sometimes in people that are following the secret, they think that they think it, but just that they can have anything. I haven't seen people reporting evidence of that, except that the secret sold a lot of movies. But so the first thing is to have an intention, and to put that intention out to the universe, which means to hold it over a period of time. Bring it up every day. Write it down. Think about it. The next thing is to be in places where it allows that intention to come to fruition. Like, if you want to meet somebody, then you have to be in places where people are. And oftentimes, the synchronicity of it brings them together. But if you never go out, you'll never have the synchronicity. So you have to go out. And then you have to recognize it when it comes in your space. Because the silly thing is, it usually seems so easy that you think it was thought it was going to be hard. And now the very thing you asked for is in your space, and something in you doesn't register it. So pay attention and notice it. And finally, you have to do something with it. Let's figure out what you can do with it, what you can do with it to make the whole intention actually manifest. In other words, you wanted something to help you manifest an intention of some kind. So when it comes in, you have to figure out how to use it. And I remember when I was younger, it was so magical that I thought the universe was going to just make it all happen because it was magic. And I realized it was me who had to move it along to make it happen. So there was no taking of power. And that was my experience. Next question here is, Mr. Brewer. This is from Carla. Carla R. No, I think it's from Isis, but it's from the email of Carla R. Okay. Hi, Isis. If it's the right Isis. It is.
That's the person's name.
Yeah, that's the person's name. I think there's a picture. I think it's Isis, who is Jill's friend. Okay? I think. I'm not sure. She lives in the city. But her question is kind of broadband. Do our current animal farming practices have an impact on the collective consciousness of our planet? If so, to what scale? Could you explain that? Does our continuous consumption of animals that have suffered have an impact on our individual energy fields? And since eating meat brings down our pH level, causing it to be more acidic, would it be then considered not healthy to eat meat? I also recently read that plant-based protein doesn't have the same effect on the body as animal protein, and due to the acidity, the animal protein causes the blood, your body draws calcium from the bones to neutralize this. It is claimed that this is one of the main reasons we suffer from osteoporosis. Let's just go, that's the first question. Does animal farming practices have an impact on the collective consciousness of our planet?
It does have a great impact on the consciousness. One of the things is, what diet has the animal been eating? Has it been eating GMO corn? And has the nutrition of the animal been optimum? Or was the animal fed different things to fatten it up really fast without having nutrient value? The question, however, lends more towards the treatment of the animals, where the animals are treated very badly and have been scared and not allowed to come out of their cages. It gives a frequency to the food that is not healthy frequency for the individual. So it does have an effect. There are other actors involved. One of them is that the animals, the different proteins and minerals in the animals are required by some bodies for the best operation. So good farming practices would be one of the answers.
Thank you. Next question on that same topic. When we have continuous consumption of animals, does that have an impact on our individual energy field and spiritual evolution? And of course, it is possible that we can consume animals that were raised in a humane way. So that's probably quite advisable. But turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. It depends somewhat on the minerals that is available, that are available in the certain meats. And some human bodies require the animal protein in order to have optimum energy. Thank you.
I'm going to skip the third question. I'll just go to the fourth from Isis. Within our human species, if we all stopped eating meat and dairy, would we suffer a deficiency that a plant-based diet could not fulfill?
Thank you. Give us a moment. it is possible to make a diet with plant-based proteins and minerals, and one would need to take special care that they would get all the nutrients necessary for the body. If one is speaking of giving up eggs and milk and other animal proteins, then it makes it even more difficult to get all of the nutrients that the body needs. It would take a very specialized and carefully put together diet to survive in totally vegan situations. There are some body types that are able to do this better than other body types.
Okay, thank you. Aaron in Plymouth, Wisconsin, and I am not interested in knowing whether this was a positive or this is Wednesday. I don't want to cover if this is a positive or negative scenario, but he had a situation where he saw a black triangle UFO in the 1990s, and he could actually see the beings in the cockpit. And he could see it, and his friend couldn't see it. How is it that a UFO can create a situation when there's two people watching and only one can see it?
Thank you. One of that is location, even though you were standing near each other. Looking at it from one vantage could make it more invisible. There is cloaking technology that the makers are using to cloak it from ordinary observation. You have the sense to penetrate that cloaking to some degree, and therefore makes it easier for you to see. However, the cloaking technology that is applied can make a difference from the angle, even though it is a slightly different angle than another angle, can make it easier or less easier to see.
Thank you. I'm going to rewrite, Jim, your question is too long, and I just want to get to the bottom line of it, okay? And I want to ask the question. Relationships seem to be one of the biggest ups and downs on this planet. We are driven to have close connection with other people in intimate ways, and so often we go into it heartily and end up feeling trapped, which is part of Jim's question. And what does it take to have a relationship that stays in the more joyful aspects of relating and avoids this feeling of trap?
Thank you. one of the main things is to be honest, and sometimes it is very hard to be honest if you think the other person would not welcome that and is wishing for a certain response or wishing to please the other person. One can withhold their own feelings and their own likes and dislikes, and then in the worst case scenario end up with somebody that is totally on a different page, and then feeling trapped in having to go along with their scenario when one doesn't really wish to go along with that scenario. When one is totally open and honest in the short time, it may create friction or something that they need to work through, but it would eliminate having as a partner someone who is on a totally different page. And when one can be open and express themselves, it really builds the relationship, and it's like a strong well that makes a really good bond, and one does not have to feel trapped because they are totally on board. We hope that within this answer we have given you some clues.
Thank you. You know, another aspect of something that comes up, which I thought I'd ask about, is anger. I think that men in particular can get angry in relationships. And why does anger come up, and how should someone deal with it?
Anger can come up for a variety of reasons. One of them is that a person does not feel good about expressing themselves and withholds expression. Yet one might, in a good way, withhold expression because the anger may be irrational. And to count to 10, to not just blow up, but to cool down first before talking about something can be helpful. Anger comes about when you have an unexpected outcome. You're expecting a certain outcome, something to go a certain way, something to go right, and suddenly it didn't go that way, and one becomes frustrated and angry. And these are areas that can lead to great growth between a couple as they work through these different scenarios.
Thank you. Question from Rich Buckley. Do the Elohim believe even they have an oversoul, or are they our reservoir of all oversouls? And a follow-up question, are they answering questions right now for multiple universes filled with multiple wing threes? Rich Buckley, Livermore. Rich, we had asked questions about that a long time ago, and they said there were five universes. I don't know if this is still true, but five universes, and that there was each universe had a source of creator gods, but there was only one infinite creator, and that I asked them once, did these creator gods ever confer with each other to see how things are going in the different universes, and they actually said they did confer, and to try, I guess, to learn how to do better, okay? And it does seem also the Elohim, they have said this in the past, are a direct offshoot of one infinite creator. I don't think they had an oversoul. The Ra group did say that when they were going through their process of evolution and graduation on Venus, they worked with an oversoul that was similar in function to what the Ra group does. Okay, so on that note, I'll turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. We, the Elohim, you, everyone on the line, are all a part of the one infinite creator, the one being that everything stems from. And this could be viewed in some manner as perhaps an oversoul, as this one being cares very, very much for each of its blind sparks and has its best interest at heart, although it may not seem like it sometimes when the lesson an individual is learning is very hard. So, in a way, the one infinite creator is our oversoul. However, it is a slightly different connection than having an oversoul. It is more freer and joyous and more all experiencing. We say that in the range of frequencies that are available in the growth of an Elohim and the leeway, the latitude that they set up for themselves within the one infinite creator. When an oversoul is working in conjunction with the lower self, it is usually more localized and a range of frequencies that is ordinarily different than the connection between the us creator gods and the one infinite creator.
Thank you. And just reiteration, are there still five universes and you still confer with the other creator gods in the other universes?
When we refer to five universes, it is one way of looking at things, and that another way of looking at things is from a different perspective, where a system, a series of connections between beings can be considered that universe, particular universe. In that sense, there are more universes in the multi-universe than what we were referring to as there being five main universes.
Thank you. Okay. Susan in Virginia has sent me an email telling us, here's to the art of noticing, being aware, paying attention, getting guidance from our sources. This stuff really, really works. It's amazing. I'm literally experiencing a huge roller coaster ride, starting with selling my house at top dollar, moving back to the D.C. area, living with an old, stubborn, angry, depressed guy, releasing a new 50 mile per gallon car, obtaining employment, having a date on this Friday in my new neighborhood, all struggle foot-free and in the flow. I think I'll keep coming back. You guys are onto something huge, based on good intentions, and be connected to friends in high places. Gratitude for all you both do. You guys rock. Susan Fairfax. Susan has been coming for a couple of years or longer to our calls. And, you know, it takes a while to integrate all of this. I mean, people come in, and sometimes things get worse before they get better, because it surfaces your patterns. And in order to have a high experience like that, you have to release a lot of stuff. And sometimes the releasing, as some of you know, can be disconcerting. But if you hang in there, eventually it gets cleared. And it's, you can now start operating at, with a higher level. I won't guarantee that, but that's, it seems, the way it works for many people. So on that note, we're going to close this call. It's 7:58. Thank you all for being here and supporting this. And thank you to Terry Brown for being such an angel for us all. Thank you, Don Newsom, for, I won't say Don's an angel, but for holding the BBS radio station for us to broadcast on. And thank you to everyone that's on the internet listening.
All callers are unmuted.
We will see you next time.
Thank you very much, guys. Love you.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Left to all.
That was an awesome call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Goodbye.